Today, we're going to walk in the steps in company of a man whose constant search was to know God, to go deeper into the intimate knowledge of God. Verse 3 of Psalm 63, David declares, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. David makes the statement here that God's love for him is better than anything life has to offer. Today we walk with him, a man who has found the true values in life. The greatest of all values, beloved, is to know God intimately, up close and personal, to enjoy his love, to live in an endless love fellowship with God. In the text, there is nobody here but David and God. The presence of God is here. O God, David would say, thou art my God. I get help just from him saying that, because the first and supreme love is the love we have for God and the love God has for us. It's a union. It's a communion of souls, because his loving kindness is better than life. He says, my lips shall praise thee. Have you ever been there, church? Have you ever, in your heart, come to value the love of God to you and your love to him? Your personal contact, your fellowship with him, more precious to you than any other love or any other thing in life. And if not, I've got to let you know, I've got to remind you, you can get there. You can get there. God wants you and me to claim this through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for you and me just as much as it was for David. Thank you, Lord. There are three things that come out of this experience with God in the text: loving God, knowing God intimately, seeking God with all your soul constantly. Loving God, knowing God intimately, closely, up close and personal, and seeking him with all of your soul consistently. David praises God in the text. My lips, verse 3, shall praise him. You see, when you really love, then the wonder of that person will be upon your lips. You will want to talk about them. They will be the topic of your conversation and the subject of your thoughts. And this is the way it is with God. Praise is not worth anything until it comes from our hearts. A heart in love with God will naturally praise God. David blesses God. In verse 4, he says, thus I will bless God as long as I live. David's lifelong existence is consumed, all wrapped up with blessing God. What do you mean, preacher? You've used this term before or heard it used. God bless you. You ever said God bless you to someone? Meaning by saying so, that may the Lord give you good things and, you know, and all that, and et cetera, and et cetera. You mean God's very best to the person you say that to. It communicates your attitude of goodwill toward that person. The person who loves God so much wants the very best for God. What we have here in verse 4 is lifelong blessing God. And then David prays to God. Verse 4b. Lifting up hands is the attitude of prayer unto God. These three things come out, emerge out of the realization of love between the human soul and God. Hear me, please. Testimony must come out of experience. I said, testimony must come out of experience. You see, David is so taken up with God that he has forgotten, so to speak, for the moment, his circumstances. He's forgotten for the moment that he is thirsty. He doesn't mention being in the wilderness, being hunted by his son Absalom. But praises, blesses the Lord, and lifted up his hands in his name. I want you to notice, beloved, that David has meditated himself, not medicated. David has meditated himself out of depression. That's a word right there. He has drawn near to God and has come out of his spirit of depression. Here's some help. Here's some help, beloved. Here's some help. You can come out of a downcast spirit by meditating on God. And then David is satisfied with God. Satisfied. A picture of someone eating the best food, singing their song, and saying, verse 5, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, because my soul is satisfied. My whole inner me is satisfied with God. Do you hear what David is saying here? He's saying, church, that God is the only one who can satisfy you and I totally in our inner being. Helps us to appreciate people cannot be satisfied unless they are satisfied with God. I said, people cannot be satisfied unless they are satisfied with God. Our souls cannot rest unless they rest in God. And as a result, our souls will be restless anywhere else but in the conscious presence and love of God. There is no other place. Jesus would say in Matthew 11 and verse number 28, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He does not say, notice, I will give you something for your restlessness. But I personally will give you rest for your soul. My presence will rest you. The presence of Jesus will rest you. He remembered God at night. Notice further that David's memory of God, he did so while on his bed at night. God was the subject of his thoughts. David did not have to take sleeping pills to sleep. He did not have to be relaxed to sleep. David thought about God. He meditated upon the Lord. When he awoke in the night watches, the text says, his mind turned to God. Lopez translation. David called God to mind. His mind immediately thought of God. He could not shut God out of his mind. But he pulled God into his mind. Do you know, loved ones, that you can shut God out of your mind? The only way for God to reach your soul is through your mind. And if you won't think about God, you shut him out of your mind, and then he can't reach your soul. He can't reach the real you underneath. David pulled God into his mind. He called God to his mind. He remembered God. A mental act of his own. Notice also, earlier in verse 1, he says, early will I seek thee. So, we understand that during the day and at early dawn, David is thinking about God. God is in all of his thoughts. David has learned the loving kindness of God. I hope you get that. Notice further, God was his help. Verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, the text says, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My goodness. The text, the backdrop to the story, has in mind David being chased by Absalom. His enemies were trying to destroy him. But God has been David's help. And God will be his help again, because God has been his help. Does that make sense? That you see where I'm coming from? David had an experience of God helping him, and he knows that he is safe and is the object of the care of God. And he rejoices in God's protection in the future. In the shadow of his wings. Notice he rejoices in God, suggesting that God is nearby. God has taken care of David, and he rings out a shout of joy, because in the shadow of the wings of God, David is perfectly, completely protected. I don't know if you've thought about this, but let me just put this thought in your mind. If this is true, why should you and I be afraid of anything? If you and I, like David, are completely and totally and perfectly protected by God, why? Now we come to verse 8. Another mountain peak, if you will. He follows hard after God. David's unending pursuit of God is here in this verse. He says, my soul follows hard. Can you feel that? He will not give up on following God. In John chapter 6, I need to mention this along the way. Verse number 44, Jesus says, no man has come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Do you see that? God takes and makes the first step. Amen. Our reach for God begins with starts with cannot happen unless God reached for us. I want you to understand that when the previous in working of God by His Holy Spirit meets with your and my present outworking of what God has worked in, our response, our present response, needs to be following hard after God. To follow hard means to cling to be glued to press after, to chase, to be in hot pursuit. David pursued God. David clung to God. His soul was attached to God's. He would not let God go. He ran after God. David's soul was in pursuit of God. He knows God and is not going to let God get away from him. I went to God. That the New Neighbor Church begins to live like David lived. He's experienced God. How long has it been? Just a question to engage your spirit. How long has it been, beloved, since you had a joyful experience with God? Doesn't Jesus say, follow me? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. And what Jesus is really saying is, if you really want Jesus, you can have him. You and I can have Jesus. I'm learning to more deeply appreciate that love gives all. A Sunday school teacher was using that word all, and it was all over the screen, and it was all over his thoughts and our thoughts as we were led in pondering the concept of discipleship, and particularly the cost of discipleship. Love gives all. Jesus gave all. You can't coerce love. All you can do is give it. I said you can't coerce love. All you can do is give it. Jesus gave all his love. He gave it all. And now David loves God. And this is why he runs after him. God, I love you. And I will not let you go. Can you say that with me? God, I love you. I love you, God, and I will not let you go. David holds on to God. You see, to follow means to follow wherever the loved one ever goes. Even if the loved one wants you to let go. But God does not want to let you go. God wants to be clung to. God wants to be attached to. God wants us to follow hard after him and be stuck, if you will, to him. The pursuit of God. The search of God. The search for God. The searching after a deeper, closer experience with God and his love would cause your soul and my soul to say, my soul, O God, pursues you. Is this true of your soul? To what measure can you say, my soul follows hard after God? I don't say that to mess with you. But wherever we are, by the Spirit of God, may he help us to get to the next level. Can you say, Lord Jesus, I am pursuing you. I am your hard follower. Listen to the warm language in Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the hart, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts. My soul thirsts for you. David panted after God like an animal, so thirsty. He must find water to drink and to quench his thirst. Notice, church, David is not thirsty for water. David is thirsty for God. And if you don't mind me saying, for God alone. For God alone. David says, as the hart pants after the water brooks, Lord, I love you. And I must get to know you up close and personal. But make no mistake about it. God wants you and I to follow him hard. He wants you and I to say, Lord God, even if you want to leave me, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to run after you anyhow, anyway. These are the words of ones who love God. And God makes David to know that his right hand upholds him. Oh, bless the Lord. God holds David up. God holds David up. He says, my right hand. Woo! The hand that holds up David belongs to God. God is not going to let David's love go unrewarded. Aren't you glad? God holds up his loving, hard followers, his clingers, his lovers, and he holds them up with his own right hand. The same hand that holds up this great universe that supports, is the hand that supports and sustains those who love God. God will never, ever forsake his hard followers, ever. Doesn't this rebuke your fears and mine? What should you and I be afraid of when we're following hard after God? You and I are kept by the power of God. God's power, not yours and mine. You and I are kept by the power of God. David loves God and pursues God, and God upholds David with his own right hand. While you and I follow hard after God, God upholds us. Okay, let me put it another way. When the New Maywood Church holds on to God, God will hold us up. That's why I heard a sister say not too long ago, and somebody went and got some t-shirts, I might be struggling in my holding on to God, but I'm standing, and I can stand because God. I'm feeling some kind of how right now. Because God will hold us up. What a word for a hard follower, for a thirsty soul. In verse 9, the text says, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. I don't know what that means exactly, but it sure don't sound like they're going to heaven. They shall fall by the sword, verse 10, there shall be a portion for foxes. I'm not sure I know what all of that means. But it sure doesn't sound like something you're going to survive. Then he says, and here's the word, but the king shall rejoice in God. But the king shall rejoice in God. You see, God will take care of all of our enemies. You know why? Because the enemies of God's hard followers are God's enemies. God looks out. I brought my own amen for that. Amen, anyhow. God looks out for his hard followers. So David winds up with this wonderful word. The king shall rejoice, shall shout for joy. David shouted for God, for joy, in the care of God. He loved God completely, and God protected him totally or perfectly. Think with me, please, church, think with me. Does this mean when money goes that we are still in the care or protected by God? Think with me, church. Does this mean when friends and relationships go that we're still in the wonderful care and in... Does this mean that when health goes, that God is still protecting and caring. Yes, yes, and yes. There is no time in our lives conceivable that you and I can imagine when we cannot rejoice. Because God is always in our lives. He's always with us. He's always loving us. He's always taking care of us. And our lives are hid with Christ in God. Amen. When we have Christ, when we have God, when we have the Holy Spirit, what else or who else do you and I need, really? So King David recommends God to everyone. In verse 11, he says, everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. In other words, being drawn to God, we shall be attracted to God. We shall have his beauty and his splendor showering us. The word for glory there has to do with beauty, has to do with the attractiveness of God, has to do with the splendor of God. He's simply saying that the one big man, woman, child of accountable age, senior, what have you, the one who makes God their everything, the one to whom God is the chief value in their life, the one who values the loving kindness of God better than life, that person shall have showered upon them all the beauty of God, all the splendor of God begins to rain down on our lives, both now and over yonder. It's a wonderful thing to rejoice in God. What it means is that there is no condition or no situation in your life and mine that we cannot rejoice in the Lord. Pray with me as you pray, as you're listening. Oh God, make this real in our hearts, that our hearts desire for a deeper seeking for you, until we can say like the psalmist, oh my goodness, because your loving kindness is better than life, I will follow hard after you. Lord, let it be so. You're number one in my life. You're my number one passion. I'm going to pursue you. And may the new Maywood Church enjoy from now until glory, or and unto glory, the life of rejoicing in the known, in the experienced love of God for each one of us personally. I mean, one by one. So if you're here today, I want to remind you of two passages and emphasize with special emphasis placed on the word come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says. and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come. If any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, Matthew 16:24, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You remember the story. Whosoever will save his life, try to save his life, will lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Church, let us not be a church that loses our soul. Let the New Maywood Church not be a church that loses our soul. So, if you're here today, the emphasis is on the word come. You've not yet come to Jesus by hearing his word, by believing his word, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, by believing what you just heard and have been taught. Causing and moving your heart to be godly sorrow for a life in every year before today. Moving your soul to a life that wants to live for Jesus. Jesus is saying, come. And you respond by saying, I am coming, Lord. Be willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then be baptized in water. I know we're virtual, but we have a pool. There is water. And by the grace of God, we stand ready to take you to the water if coming to live with Jesus is what you want to do. And then, of course, you can come after him and you can follow after him hard. But you know, church, for the baptized believer, sometimes we get to a point in our lives, in our spiritual life, in our spiritual lives, where everything just seems to be wearing us. Come a little closer, please. Where we no longer are motivated. Where we're just going through the motions. You know, things are changing so fast. Life is changing so fast, all around us, that sometimes the inner person, the inner you and the inner me can't keep up. We lose ourselves in what's going on around us. And then we just begin to start going through the motion. We're not motivated to serve God. There's no fire in the soul for God. We start walking in the park when we should be running after God. Does that describe you today? Being dragged by the worst of circumstances, and your spiritual life is in the desert, in the wilderness. Please hear me. Please hear me. There is hope. There is hope today. There is hope today. Your spiritual passion for God can be restored. By His Spirit, God can put the fire of the Holy Spirit back into your desire, and He can do it today, but you got to come. Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restored. Don't you know that my heart is weary? Refill it, dear Lord, 'cause I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my love, refill my faith. Oh, restore my soul. I know, you know too. That was way off key. But I wasn't coming from the keys. I was coming from my heart. I was coming from my soul. And I hope and pray that you are coming from the same place. All right? Don't leave here today, church, saved but not thirsty. Don't leave here today saved but not following hard after God. Our Father, we come acknowledging we need you, Lord. We need you. We need you right now. There's pain, trauma, everywhere, all around us. Our families are hurting. Our loved ones are hurting. Life is changing and shifting so quickly. And so we acknowledge that we're desperate for you and for you alone. Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy on us, O God. Forgive us. When we've lost our step. Forgive us where the thrill and the fire has been put out by what's going on around us and in us. Forgive us, O Lord. Have mercy as we are godly sorry. Father, rekindle the fire. Restore our soul. Bring us back. Bring us back, O Lord, to the place where we follow hard after you, because that's your desire from us. Rebuild our faith. Renew our courage. Revive the fire. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And amen.